It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
We're back.
We say that every week.
Yeah, but this time we mean it. Because we've been away.
I've been away.
Yeah, you've been away forever, dude.
Where have you been?
I scooted off to Nashville.
I came back, expected you to be here. What happened?
I noticed. I checked out the podcast. You were calling. You said, "Oh, Wayne, I'm Wayne." And I just wasn't there.
I figured that out.
And like you didn't know where I was going. Yeah, that was false.
Oh, really? I didn't know until a couple days before because I didn't read your email I got in Europe.
There you go. See, I did communicate to you.
I was going, why is he going to Nashville? So I had to back up in my thing. Oh, he's going to Nashville to...
A whole bunch of reasons.
What? You're kind of, you know, touching base with some pretty snarky folks.
Snarky folks?
Well,
I met a whole bunch of folks. Some of them were snarky and a whole bunch of others were not.
Oh, that keeps us safe from having them to decide which ones were snarky.
Yeah, there you go.
Not. You're back, I forget the expression, I'm so tired, but...
You know what? It's been a while, but I felt like I was asked of the Lord to go back and make some significant connections.
Oh, yeah. Pin it on God, that's all.
I did. It's the first time in a while I felt like he really said, you have to be there.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's like, so I did. And I was absolutely thrilled, because I had like a whirlwind of seemingly God surprising connections, and some of them were just fantastic. I bumped into people that had been reading The Shack. I had no idea how they got it, and their lives were just massively impacted by it, and they've been giving it all away, and I found out all these neat people are reading it. It's like, wow. So that was just fun.
Wow, that is fun.
And that isn't why I went. And you just go like, and it was neat. I had a wonderful time for about just a weekend.
Wow, that's cool.
But I'm back. You're back.
Welcome back.
You've been gone longer.
I'm not sure I'm back yet. I'm still trying to
get
back.
No, you're not looking fully back. For those of you that cannot see him right now, Wayne really does have droopy eyes right now. He does look wasted.
I have no idea still. I've been back from Europe for a week and, a couple of days now. And I sleep-wise, I'm not settled. I've never had this much trouble, but part of that came back into quite a bit.
You had a pretty tough touchdown.
Yeah, we did. Fortunately, God gave me business class on the way home. I got to Heathrow Airport and bumped up to business class, which was nice.
Those are the fat seats, right?
Those are the big wonderful ones. Big seats. They fully recline like a lazy boy. They got a foot thing that comes up and your feet are resting in this thing. I mean, it's just... In fact, as they were announcing our landing in Los Angeles, I was thinking, why don't we take another lap? I really don't.
Couldn't we taxi for a little longer?
No, because you can't recline during the taxi. I was thinking just, like, let's take another lap around Europe and come back.
Over the other pond.
It was very comfortable. I got bumped up because the plane was full. And actually, I was sitting next to Jane Seymour on the airplane.
Oh, hey.
The actress lady. And then
my kids went to preschool with her kids.
We talked for a few minutes and then... Well, 15 or so. And then the stewardess came up, and they happened to find a seat in first class for her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I asked them if they found one for me, too. And they kind of looked at me like, who in the blazes are you? So I just stayed in business class, but quite happily to do
it. She's a pretty neat lady.
She was actually very gracious to all that was going on around her. There were people really kind of, I mean, the flight staff were kind of like sucking up to her. And, playing like she's
they don't do that to you, Wayne?
Prima donna or something. No. No.
The flight staff doesn't
Everybody was falling all over themselves to, oh, Miss Seymour this, oh, Miss Seymour that. But she was not asking for it. She was incredibly gracious. I thought she was a pretty neat gal, actually, neat lady. And actually coming back to a tragic situation of her own. So I guess she's in London now most of the time. This is kind of an emergency thing for them, too. So it was a bit of a deal. But got home, and Sarah picked me up at the airport, and we were going to try and go straight to Visalia, where my friend was not doing well. And... kind of on the last throes of his struggle with cancer, and I just couldn't do it. I got in the car and started that way, and I just said, I've got to go home. I got to crawl in bed. I've got to get some sleep, and then repack a bag, and we'll. So we left the next morning and ran into two accidents on the 99 freeway.
Oh, gosh.
A drive that should have taken us about 2.5 hours took us over 5. So that was kind of a mess. and got there and was there with my friend for the last 2 hours of his life. And it was a bittersweet thing. There were two things on my heart flying back from D.C. One was that the wife, who's a virtuoso violin player. I mean, she's
wow,
incredible caliber. And I asked her, when I got home, I called her and I said, you've been in that room with your violin at all? You played it for Paul? And she said, no, I haven't even thought of it. And I said, I see you in there doing it. And if it fits, do it. If not, don't do it because I said it. And we got up there that morning and found out she'd gone in the night before with the violin and he was at home. And they were the only two there. And she took her violin in and she played some of his hymns, the hymns he enjoys.
Oh, wow.
And then one particular piece that was very meaningful to him. And she said, I played the violin, we read scripture, I cried my eyes out, and at that point he wasn't real responsive verbally at all. Mm. But, you know, she sensed by things that was going on that he was deeply touched by it. We got there and had some time with him, unsure what was going on. We were kind of starving, so we went and grabbed something to eat real quick and came back, and we were eating it there at the house, and the wife came in and said, I think his breathing's changed. And so we walked in, and it had gotten a bit shallower, and the other thing in my heart was just reading Colossians to him, the whole book from the message, and I didn't know how far we'd get, and I figured I might be there for the afternoon even, and I'd have plenty of time to just read to him, and I was deeply meaningful. It's something I had read while I was in Europe again, just the portion of scripture that I love, and I read the first chapter, and as we read it, his breathing shifted yet again, a little more raspy, a little more shallow, so we went and got two of the other sisters, and two of his sisters, and Louise's wife, and Sarah, and I just sat by his bed, holding him, reading from Colossians, read chapter 2, read chapter 3, and read chapter 4. And when I read chapter 4, we got to the end of it. His breathing grew very, very shallow. And he probably took two or three more breaths after that. I could tell he wasn't going to last long. I just grabbed his arms. I held him, and I just said, Brother, commend you to the grace of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. We love you. Go on home if you're ready. And it wasn't long. He, a couple more breaths, he stopped breathing. A few seconds later, his wife said his heart stopped. And she leaned over and kissed him on the forehead and said, I love you, honey. I'll see you soon. Mm. And that was it. And, boy, we helped with all that. Went up to my parents from there because they live a couple hours from there. We had the dogs with us. And we'd come prepared to stay the week. We weren't sure what it was going to be like up there. And so we were back the next day. Sarah was back the next day helping with some of the funeral things. They asked me to do the service, which was going to be tough. Actually did it in the building of the group of people that I used to pastor among before I was unceremoniously dismissed a number of years ago.
Ooh.
They graciously offered their building. And so I stood on Saturday morning. I stood at a lectern I've stood at many times before. In front of a group of people that's a very mixed crowd, people I have been with in the spiritual journey for a bit and some folks I haven't.
That had to be a whole smorgasbord of emotions for you.
It wasn't. It could have been, I guess. I don't feel unresolved about the stuff with that group of people.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's like it's resolved in the sense that we've worked out what happened there. But I don't have anything in my heart. And for me that day, it was all about Louise and it was all about the family and Paul. And it really wasn't about me or who was in the building.
Right.
But I had great reconnections with people. And one of the things I thought was really kind of crazy walking out of that is the death of a mutual friend can bring us together for a moment. Why can't the death of Jesus Christ bring us together forever? And I know he will eventually, but
it does.
It does. But in that group of folks, I mean, the death of a friend has more power right now than the death of the Savior. But I don't know what'll come of it. I sent some good things. My former co-pastor said, it was so good to have you here. It was so good to hear you speak again. It was so good. I don't know if God has more in mind than this. And so I don't know what doors it'll open. It was an amazing day. It was amazing just because the number of people we saw and trying to get through a service for what has been my best friend for the last 20 years. I mean, they have walked a journey with us and we with them. And this is the kind of friend where you just know everything about and they know everything about you. This is not a pie in the sky kind of friendship. This is down and dirty. We've been with each other through the worst of times, through anger and through real difficult moments. We've been with each other in times of great hilarity and joy. And So yeah, it was a strange week to come back to. I wasn't sleeping well because of jet lag anyway. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and then with the service pressing on my, trying to figure out what I'm going to say and how I'm going to get through it emotionally without just becoming a mess of tears. I didn't want to become the spectacle. That's what I was afraid of.
Right.
With Sarah's mom's funeral a few years back, I mean, I just totally couldn't keep it together, and it was, I just didn't want to end up there for my friend and for his family and what they were going through. But fortunately, I mean, I had a few moments of fairly emotional pauses, but I'm okay with that. I mean, that's just part of the reality of it. But hey, we got through it. Some lovely music. The reality now is my sister, who's Sarah's closest friend now and a good friend of mine, she goes on alone, and except that God's with her too, but not without her 30-year partner in marriage.
That leaves a hole.
A big hole. And some financial realities that are going to be challenging as well. But you know what? God's the provider for her. God's glory for Paul. It's just the contrast of him, that moment we're saying goodbye at the end of reading Colossians. And there's so many passages in Colossians that are just grounded in that moment, grounded in the glory of God and what will be revealed in the last day. And knowing that that moment, Paul steps into glory. And
yeah, that's kind of cool.
He sees face to face things you and I only dream about. I mean, that's just true. He totally now, incorruptible, transformed in the presence of the Jesus we all talk about, know in part and see through a glass darkly. In one moment, great glory for him. In the same moment, great tragedy for his wife. I mean, the two are inseparable. You can't just say, well, he's in a better place. We should all be happy. I mean, a big part of her heart's been torn away by this insidious disease, this cancer that ravaged his body despite all our prayers and despite all the medical stuff thrown at him. And I guess that's, and we come back to that, there's a lot of life in there. It's just great tragedy and great ecstasy, and it's just kind of all mangled together until...
Yeah, it's hard to get one without the other.
Until this kingdoms of this age become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Until then, it's just that way. So we get to love her going forward. Sarah's been on the phone to her fairly frequently, and we love her. We're going to keep an eye on her. I think folks around Visalia are going to help do that too. So that made it a long week as well. So then we got back from that late Saturday night, and I'm still trying to catch up. Now it's Tuesday as we record this. So,
Wow.
So I'm hopelessly behind on email, hopelessly behind on office things that have to be done, because a week from tomorrow I fly to Canada, and Sarah and I are going up to spend 4 days with a group of folks.
You can't just hit the pause button on life, can you?
Not this month. Maybe when we get back. Actually, Canada is a four-day meeting with a pretty wide group of believers coming together in Stratford, Ontario. And then after that, Sarah and I have a week at a little hideaway up in northern Canada, and we're just going to go, her and I, and just be together.
Ooh, so there you go.
There's the pause button.
There you go.
That'll be great.
I know on the forum, I think you mentioned it, my dad's having some heart surgery stuff. He's not quite out of the woods, but he's okay. You know, he's got some of the world's finest looking after him, and so I feel like he's got... At least he's getting a good look at what he's having to face. And, you know, it's just interesting. I think when you're having to face death, and I think for him it's pretty front and center because he's got something wrong with one of his, you know, the sort of the sudden death arteries, and it's kind of like, ooh, we better do this soon and do it right. You know, it's interesting. You know, part of me at times in those moments, just, you know, from my own little vantage point, you kind of like the chance to see Jesus face to face. That is, I got to tell you, that's kind of fun. I do look at that and go like, that's not so terrible. That's not so bad. But
and Paul even felt that way. Paul was talking about, you know, to go be with him is the better of the options, staying here, going on.
I mean, I don't know what in the world you would do facing this kind of stuff, heavy life, without that as a real, genuine hope to look at. I think the despair, the overwhelming aspect of it all would be far more than it is. But there's a sense of, I mean, we've had a chance to talk, and I just said, you know, the downside is not so awful. I think what's really hard is for everyone that is not making that journey.
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, because that's like, wow, you know, that's the loss. That's the emptiness. That's the absence. Whereas the person that makes that journey, steps into eternity, man, they're stepping into a fullness that we only look through a glass dimly.
Yeah, and there's a glory awaiting us. And I know for me, I approaching this death and this transition, after reading The Shack, to plug that again, I don't think I'll ever view death the same again. I mean, I don't know what eternity looks like. I love the way some of it's pictured in the Festival of Friends in The Shack. But if it's not that, it's more glorious than that, and it's more glorious than we can fathom. And I just to think of my friend transitioning through that, just going, my gosh, that's he got to go on the big roller coaster. You got the big ride that I'm still in line for, you know. And I'm not encouraging anybody to run and head toward death quickly. Like you said, the problem is those that are left, and particularly a young man, he's 55. With his wife, and she's got some realities coming now. So it's not easy. Absolutely not. But I don't think I'll ever view death the same way again. It's not something that, you know, makes you go, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And we're going to all go there someday. It's just, life's going to end. And, you know, like everything that's real is in this world when so little that's real is in this world. I heard somebody say one time after a good friend died, they said, well, now more of my treasure has just been vested in heaven. And I do feel like that, having lost my brother earlier on, having lost a best friend in high school, now losing a good friend in my 50s, I have a lot of my treasure in heaven. Yeah. And if that moment is anything like, I know probably some people are chomping at the bit to hear us talk about Ireland, and we probably do that in the next podcast, but what we experienced in Ireland, just the part of it, even the very first bit of the first day, as a group of about 100 people showed up on this field in Ireland to spend, have a picnic together and to start this week-long experience. And I have to say, most of the people in that who were gathering in Ireland, I already knew. I've met them in various places in the world. Not all of them, but certainly the vast majority of them. Some of those people that were with us on this trip are some of my good, good friends on this journey. I mean, they're people that not just I met them and know them, but I've stayed in their homes. I know them well, yeah. And yet they don't know each other. And when I was sitting there watching people arrive, and that's what I thought, man, this is probably what that first bit of heaven is like, is people just arriving. And they're getting out of cars and they're meeting. Oh, you're so and so. Oh, you're. And I just watched. And I mean, I hugged the people that were near me and greeted them. But it was just a joy to watch some of my good friends meet some of my other good friends and watch that fellowship begin. And somehow I think heaven, the first few moments of heaven for all of us are going to be that kind of a, hey, you're that guy and I'm this guy and that gal. And there's just that, it was a beautiful, beautiful moment of people who didn't know each other, but who had a sense of family just because of the work of Christ. And I think, boy, there's somebody to suggest, and I tried to pass this off to a few people. I haven't been able to communicate at all, but I know there's a theological thought that when you die, you enter eternity, and thus you've left the continuum of time. And that people in eternity don't have the same progression of time that we do. And that it's likely that as Paul steps into eternity, Louise and I and Sarah are there. That we're, being in Christ and being and going to join him in eternity at some point, that the theological thought could be that once you're in eternity, it's eternal. And there's no time, and there's no time progression. So that we're thinking about he's there and we're here, but in the scope of eternity, we'll be there too. Maybe arrive at the same moment. Maybe just look around. I mean, I don't know how all that stuff plays out.
Now you're doing the mind bender stuff.
That's just weird stuff to think about. But we only think time wise. We think linearly. So yeah. Paul's in a place we're not, except that Paul's joined eternity, and someday we'll join eternity. There is no time in eternity.
But there's a part of eternity that has indwelt us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when you think of what happens when someone becomes born again. It's not that they just prayed a prayer and their name is on a member list of a club someplace. The life of the eternal one is dwelling inside. And when you think of the mysteries of the fellowship that we have with one another, there's something extraordinary there. So what you're sharing to me isn't like, oh gosh, what strange ideas. It's like, you know, there's something there that we in this temporal dynamic struggle to grasp. That is going to be outrageous to have fully revealed when all of a sudden you're in the there.
Yeah. When all of a sudden we are released from the captivity of space and time and a body that's temporal and finite and afflicted. I still don't think we can fathom it. I don't think Scripture tells us clearly. I think it hints at things because it can't describe to us what is so outside of us and so beyond us to comprehend. And that is, how does this mortal take on immortality, and what does that immortality look like? But boy, it's at least going to be. That's why I just thought of this whole thing in Ireland. We're going through that. I'm getting daily updates from Sarah because I don't know if my friend's going to make it till I get home, and I knew I was supposed to do the service if we got to that point, so I might have to fly home early. When I left him last, I sensed that this may well be my last time with him being able to communicate. So I said the things I wanted to say and said goodbye to him and had hugged his neck and loved him. And I didn't feel the angst to get home for that, but I evidently somehow he did. I mean, whether it was to be there for him, to be there for Louise, he held on seemingly until I got there. One of the sisters showed up that day who hadn't been there among his family yet. So I don't know. Some do say work with hospice people. Sometimes it's a certain person that they wait for, or certain people that come along, and then they feel free to push on to the next life. And
well, I mean, it's interesting. When we had a chance just to talk on the phone just the other day, you mentioned you were back in your old stomping ground of, wow, the same pulpit that you used to preach from and the same. I had a really bizarre encounter about a week ago. And I just out of nowhere had just a multiplicity of nudgings that I was supposed to go visit my old senior pastor, who had seriously done me wrong. And it's not as if it's someone that I had wanted to go see for much of the last number of years.
Not surprised.
You know, it's like, I haven't had any active bitterness, but you're just going like, it's not exactly, I think I'll go hang out with him. It's like, no, the thought never crossed my mind. And then it came out of nowhere where there was a desire where there had been no desire at all. And, you know, it's just, the whole story is not, for some people it has a context, but for me, what was so interesting is I just recognized, you know, here he is, he's on his deathbed, you know, for 19 weeks he hasn't eaten.
Wow.
And 19 weeks ago he had kind of declaration that God was taking him home and that he was gone in 2 weeks. Well, he was incorrect about that, but it's like I had no idea who I was going to show up and see. I didn't know if this guy was going to think I was Satan in bodily form and it was going to be ugly and awful.
I know others have made that mistake.
You know, and yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And he still got it even
when he's tired.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was going to walk into. I just had it in my heart that, you know what, if the roles were reversed, I'd really love for somebody to show me some kindness and mercy. And that just, that stuck with me so deep that I just come out, you know what, that's all I'm going to do. I don't really know what to say because I can't, like, make up something that I can't really with truth say in my heart, but it's like I can express kindness. I can say, I just want to bless you. And so I had to Google him and his wife to find out, you know, a phone number or just some snitch of, because I didn't know where they lived. They'd turn up, live about 1,000 yards away from me.
Your house.
Yeah.
Their house is that close to your house?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just up the block. And you're just like, how bizarre is that, right?
Pretty strange.
And so I go up, I call, and it's like you can hear the wife just gives an audible gasp because I just call and I said, you know what? Hey, it's Brad Cummings. And just, and I didn't know if that was good or bad.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't either.
But within a moment, it was like there was kindness extended back to me. And it was like, wow, that was sort of a and it's like they made it open where in the next 15 minutes I went to go see him. And if I had given you a weather report after I'd been with him, I would have told you that hell had frozen over, because this guy, I think, had been waiting for me to show up. I mean, his wife, she said, I think he's been waiting. And he said, I had given up that you would come. He said, I really wanted you to come, but then I just sort of figured that maybe I wasn't. And it's like the Lord had been dealing with him, and he wanted to make things right.
Wow.
And he went through a whole list of people that he had seen and, you know, relationships that he was desiring to see some measure of restoration or reconciliation. And that just was a shocker to me. I just sat there going like, I mean, this guy would be like Fonzie trying to say, I'm sorry. You know, it's like the old Happy Days episode where you just go like, he's not, that's not something that he really does. Yeah. And so what was an incredible gift is that I just went on the prompting that God wanted me to do that. And what I got back was an incredible gift because there was a restoration of just the foundation of our friendship. I felt like normally he only has like maybe 5 minutes that he can be with someone. He was alert and cogent and active for 50 minutes.
Wow.
And his wife just sat there going like, I think he's spending all his energy on this one visit, you know? And there was a chance to restore friendship. And you got to sit there. I never thought something like that was possible. I really didn't. And so the joy of being able to feel like, you know what, we were able to just love up on each other, exchange forgiveness that's genuine. You know, we didn't rehash it wasn't necessary. I was hearing his heart, and he was wanting the restoration. And it was just fun. And I was just kind of like taken back, like, wow, Lord. You know, and then just for the two of our lives to have a little bit of the serendipitous parallel there, it was kind of like, gosh. And made me go like, what's going on?
Yeah, we even had another weird moment because when the actual obituary in the paper put the wrong address for the facility where the service was going to be. Same street, but instead of east, they put west. And so we thought, well, we at least ought to put a sign down at the west address, whatever's down there, just in case some people show up there and it's the wrong place for them. And it was a good thing we did because actually some people did that. So we prepared some signs, and I was looking around trying to find somebody who could just, before the service, run down the street and just put those up a few blocks away. And I couldn't find anybody, so I grabbed my old co-pastor, and I said, listen, I need to get these signs down there. Would you mind, or do you know somebody you could ask to go there? And I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I didn't see him for about 10 minutes later. He actually went down and did it. He came back. He goes, you'll never guess what that other building is. I could already guess what it was. It was an old veterans memorial building. Or we had actually met in the earliest days of this fellowship coming together.
So wild.
And he goes, I think there's a circle being tied together. you kind of sense, as any parent would, I mean, we're talking about God as our Father. What any parent loves to see is their kids, especially if they're estranged kids, find a way back to love each other and forgiveness and get along. I know nothing brings me greater joy than watching my kids have a ball, get along, deal with each other. And, you and I having that same moment in the same week, I just think we've got to have an understanding that our Father is really, 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 really committed to wholesome, healthy relationships in the family. And even in places where those relationships have been broken, he may be ready to patch some of those up.
Yeah, I think that's... You know what's exciting to me is that this was not some work of my flesh or the goodness of who I am. This was really all of a sudden just being available to the fact that God, because someone had suggested, so, you know, I think you really ought to go see him. I'm just going like, you know what? I'm really over acting on the impulses of other people just because they're suggesting it. I used to be ruled by that.
Yeah, I hear you.
And there's a sense of just going like, you know what? As nice as that is, I really have not heard God say that to me in the least. And so I'm mere well wishing. I don't really want to respond to it. And then I just said, Lord, you have said nothing to me. Is this something you want me to do? And if so, I am open. And within moments, I had just a flurry of little things that just kind of said in a screaming way, yeah, I'd like you to do that. And at first I was kind of like, oh, I was kind of neutral or maybe negative about it. And then it's like, I think God posited something in my heart that I just was available to and was thrilled that he put there. Because you sit there and it's like, you know what? When there's been wounding and hurt, because I mean, I imagine people are listening. And it's like, it isn't go make friends with your enemies week on the God journey. You
right.
know, we're not.
There's a time for those things.
Well, you can't force it.
You can't.
And if you do, it might be even more painful if it's done outside the timings of God's grace.
Yeah, or if we're just going to slap a Band-Aid on a broken relationship, try to make it look better.
Yeah.
But just responding to God.
Yeah, it's like when I had that just really genuine sense, because, I mean, you know, Kelly experienced some real pain in this whole deal, and almost a more challenging dynamic, the indirect role. You know, it's one thing to be in the frying pan yourself. It's another thing for your loved one to be thrown in there and the pain that that goes through. And sometimes that's a little more of a challenging offense to get over.
Oh, I think it is. I think spouses suffer definitely.
You know?
Yep.
And so my last little, you know, sort of fleece before the Lord, I think I was going to go anyways, but I just kind of went, well, I wonder what Kelly would think about this, because this would be really strange if I did it without asking her, you know?
Because, you know, tell
like,
her later.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, honey, guess what I did today?
Guess who I saw?
Yeah, I don't think that'd go well. So I just kind of went, you know, I have really no idea how she's going to respond. And it's like, when I tossed it out, I was shocked, because she said, you know what? I think that's great. And I'm going like, is this my wife? I mean, it's, hello, is, and it, what was wonderful is I think God did a work inside both of us that was just releasing his love. And I just sat there going like, wow, Lord, because I'm not real good at loving my enemies. I don't know about you. I'm personally, Brad is not awesome at it. Okay.
Okay. I don't know anybody who would be.
And the fact that all of a sudden there is a love there. I mean, I was taken back, because it was like for a few moments, it was some of the best times I've ever shared with that man were brought right back full center with all the normal emotion. And it wasn't strange. I'm just going, this is outrageous, God. Thank you. If you can do it here, I mean, this was my, like, Mount Everest. If you can do it here, you can do it anywhere for me.
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah, it's just wonderful, because, you know, if anyone's out there that's in that estranged place, gosh, it's not something that you have to do. Just be available. Let God move on your heart. And I think that's the difference for me, is that as opposed to feeling it as some exhortation of a I have to that I might have heard in the past, I think God's Spirit really does accomplish things for us if we're just available.
Yeah, and what's a bit maybe tragic about both of our experiences the last week is that death really is the common, or near death is the common denominator to make life make sense again, to put first things first.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I've always appreciated, that's a weird way to say it, about losing people close to me who've died, is for at least a time, I don't know why we so quickly get back to the routines of life and forget, but at least for a time, there's such a cleansing of heart with the sense of what really is important here and what really isn't. And
yeah,
for me, I think this week has been that. For Sarah and me, we've got back to things in our own life. It's made the first things first again. You know,
yeah,
and I don't mean just God, because we try and keep God first all the time, but I mean the reality of life, which isn't about what you achieve. It's about relationships. It's not, you know, to sit there and look at all the people. I don't even know in recent years if Paul had an understanding of how loved he was by the number of people who showed up that day and the expressions of their love and affection for him. Unfortunately, sometimes that only gets expressed at funerals. Regretfully, death somehow seems to clear the playing field. Makes it clearer.
Well, you know, the whole, like, the encouragement for us to be sober in the way in which we live life. I sort of feel like death or near death or the facing of it, it brings a soberness. And it's not like a seriousness, but it brings the important things front and center. And it makes it easy to respond and embrace. And it's like, what I hear you saying is, why don't we live that way every day? You know, the idea of being able to live without any sense of regret. Like, if I didn't see you ever again,
would I have said to you the things that are most important to say?
Yeah. You know, would you know the love that I have for you? And would you be secure in that? And can we give that as a gift? In as much as it's possible, can we give that as a gift to the people around us that we do love and cherish? You know, do they know?
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know, I think the Lord's saying that. I think that's something to embrace.
It's a good time to always sit back and say, okay, who's important and what's important in my life? And it's not the things our society says. Not how many toys you had, at the end of it. It's not how much you've achieved in human sense of success. Almost even folks in the world who die, their focus at the end is always about people and relationships, who's close to you, and what.
Oh, gee, I wish I just closed that last business deal.
I wish I spent a little more time at the office.
Yeah, that really doesn't show up in those moments.
No, it doesn't. But this is the rekindling of fellowship and community, and maybe restoration of broken relationships. I just think that's closer to God's heart than most of the stuff we play with all day long.
Yeah, and even just the celebration of the ones that you have. I mean, what was so neat about my time in Nashville is I went back for a multitude of reasons. I mean, there was just, it was like, okay, there's four or five really important things that I can do all in this one little moment. And amidst being very busy and a full schedule, I had some glorious time to just sit and enjoy a dear friend of mine. Just, I mean, we would stay up to the wee hours of the night just sharing life and enjoying stories and each other and where, what God was doing, and just going like, man, I came back so filled with a sense of appreciation and gratitude of just going like, wow, Lord, how do you accomplish all that you do and the time frames that you do when we just sort of respond to the nudgings?
Yeah, and that's a lot of what Ireland was like, but we got to do that next time.
All right.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.